Hi folks, welcome back here with another bi-weekly episode of the Tune In Tuesday series of season 2 of the Back to Divinity podcast. And in the Tune In Tuesday series, we will be talking about any life updates, astrological updates for the upcoming 2 weeks, and any collective oracle guidance that our spirit team wants us to know at this very time. So this week's episode, or for the next 2 weeks, is going to be jam-packed with a couple of things that are happening in the sky. So it is going to be astrology heavy, but super useful information, as it's going to help us understand what's going on with us at an inner level and sort of what's going on with the collective energy. So let's first begin with a couple life updates. So in the last podcast episode, I did mention that I recently moved to New Jersey. It's still an adjustment, no big changes really on that front. Still putting furniture pieces together and things of that sort. And when it comes to the new job, things are going great, settling in well, very much a new beginning type of energy. But with that energy comes a lot of being triggered along the process in terms of, you know, facing any self-limiting beliefs that may still be there, facing any fears, any wounding around any subconscious beliefs that, again, are just not working in my favor, are being triggered up at this time for me to sort of revisit in many areas of my life. So Cancer season energy has a lot of us probably feeling a little bit more sensitive, emotional at this time, but any things that are coming up for review are really just ultimately asking you to peel back some layers to then build upon sturdier foundations rather than foundations that were clearly shaky to begin with. So we're going to dive in with something that just happened on July 4th. So I'm recording this video the day after July 4th. So Venus went into Gemini. I think I kind of basically touched a lot of this on the last week's video, Venus being in Gemini energy. So if you want to hear about that one, definitely go into the last podcast episode. But Venus being in Gemini happened on July 4th. And then additionally on July 4th, Neptune went retrograde in Aries. So we will dive into a couple of those things, but I'm just going to give a rundown of what's coming. Uranus in Gemini is happening on July 7th, so in a few days, Uranus will be entering Gemini. Uranus is sort of a longer-term planet and spends years in a single sign. So that being said, this is a really big transit for us to talk about today. Venus will be trine Pluto on July 7th as well, so this is why I'm reiterating Venus in Gemini, although we touched on that last time. And then the Capricorn full moon that is happening on July 10th is another thing we're going to talk about today. Saturn will be going retrograde in Aries on July 12th. And on July 17th, Mercury will be going retrograde in Leo. So I just mentioned three different retrogrades. It's giving we're about to be entering a retrograde season for a little while. And so it's very essential that we are thinking about what sort of things are going to be up for review, what's going to be up for reflection, and what is sort of going to be called for us to slow down and to adjust or alter our approaches. That is pretty much everything. On the 22nd is when Sun enters Leo, and by that time we'll have a new video up sort of talking about what's coming up in that latter half of July. So I feel like the months are going by really quickly this year. So let's start by talking about Neptune retrograde in Aries. So Neptune is Pisces energy. Neptune is our subconscious, our dreams. They are, you know, illusions, the rose-colored glasses type of perspective, a little bit more of a fantasy perspective. And again, just our deeper emotions. It is represented by the moon. So oftentimes it's what's hidden, what's inside, what's in our inner core, and is representative of something that is unseen. So often we can attribute the third eye chakra to that of Pisces energy, being that it's something unseen, you know, to the eye, but that can be understood in a deeper sense. So that's Neptune energy. Neptune in retrograde is going to be highlighting all of those themes in a way where it's like, what can we be doing differently? So what illusions are still there that need to be peeled away? What rose-colored glasses do you still have on that you need to take off? What dreams are you not believing in and are not following through in? What fantasies are maybe hurting you rather than helping you? How are our desires connected or not connected to that of our intuition? Sort of thinking about how are we in alignment versus how are we not in alignment, and, you know, readjusting as those things are coming to light. So Neptune, again, this moon energy, this hidden energy, there can be a lot of things that are coming up to the surface that need to be visited as a means to, again, change our direction or change our approach, or strengthen any dynamics or strengthen any roles that we're currently operating in. All of those things are sort of up for review because our Pisces energy, again, Neptune 12th house energy, this is our inner core, the thing that can't really be seen by other people. So this could be a lot of subconscious and sort of internal work that is happening with this Neptune retrograde in Aries. Aries is very much our identity, our action-oriented energy, our ability to go after the things that we want, our passions, our sense of self, and how we are putting ourselves out there, whether that's literally physically our appearance or just how we are operating in the world. It is our first house, right? And so that being said, Neptune being retrograde in that area is asking you, how can you really peel back some of the illusions you might have as to who you think you are? Maybe your sense of self is tainted and is not really as clear as can be. Maybe you are seeing yourself in a worse light than you actually are, right? Or maybe you're putting yourself way too up on a pedestal in a way that's hurting you. It really is case by case scenario. And again, based off your chart, it can really dictate what is going on. And if you want further guidance on that, definitely book a major transit reading on Neptune energy and the Neptune retrograde transit. But again, ultimately, this Neptune retrograde transit could be highlighting any of those Aries themes in connection to those Pisces themes. So another example would be if you yourself are someone who's very action-oriented and going after things, but you're going after the wrong things. Pisces energy will help dictate that for you. Are you chasing your dreams that you believe are feasible, or are you putting those dreams on the back burner because you don't think they're feasible and therefore taking action in a place that maybe isn't where you're meant to be, right? So those things can be highlighted again, switching direction once you sit and reflect with what it is that you really want and if you believe that you can attain it. Another thing will be Aries energy, again, a very childlike energy, the first house, very passionate and fiery Mars can also have us prone to anger, especially with Neptune being Pisces energy and it being a very sensitive sign. Our deeper emotions can be triggered at this time, and it's very important that we are not, you know, impulsively reacting to things, that we are not stepping into an anger-filled energy, and that we are first sitting with things, with the Pisces energy, feeling our emotions, validating our emotions, and then after processing and reflecting with it a little bit, even journaling about it, then you can go and take whatever steps that you feel like you need to in order to, you know, address that situation. So those things can also be highlighted. Our sense of self, again, as I said, and our action energy generally, our passions and our desires are going to be up for review with this Neptune retrograde, but in a way where it's really asking us to sit with things before, you know, taking any steps. Aries is also our leader-like energy and our ability to stand confidently in a lot of these roles that we're in. So you could find yourself with this Neptune retrograde transit feeling as if you are being challenged to step into a leadership role, as if you are being challenged to embody these leadership qualities and do it confidently, and putting yourself out there and sort of, you know, pushing past any, you know, uncomfortable feelings you may have associated with being seen for, you know, what it is that you do, your passions, your desires, and therefore your ability to lead the way. Aries energy also has this entrepreneur type energy in connection to it. And so with this Neptune retrograde in Pisces, if you had a dream, you know, to own your own thing or be an entrepreneur in some way, shape, or form, during this time, you could be, you know, pushed sort of in that direction, asking you to peel back any of the fears that may be stopping you and any other self-sabotaging mindsets that are stopping you from being able to go in that direction. Because again, the mind is super powerful, and before anything can be done externally, it has to be done internally first. And so this Neptune retrograde in Aries transit, I think, is super helpful, you know, at the same time as Saturn is about to go retrograde in Aries. So we will dive into that in a second, and I will connect it back to the Neptune retrograde in Aries transit. So that is a little bit about the Neptune retrograde in Aries transit. Again, if you want to know more specifically for you, definitely book a reading. Link is in my bio. And then we have Uranus and Gemini on July 7th. So Uranus is moving from Taurus to Gemini. It has been 7 years since Uranus has been in Gemini, and Uranus will continue to be in Gemini for 8 years. So let's dive in. Uranus energy is connected to that of Aquarius. Uranus is the planet of abrupt change. It is that Aquarius energy of revolution, revolting, rebellion, the energy of stepping out from, you know, the institutions and the way that things are, and sort of going in a more independent direction, being comfortable, you know, in your own sort of approach to things, in your own expression of yourself, your beliefs, your core, your external, right? All of the above with that Aquarius energy. As Aquarius is represented by the Star card in the Tarot deck, it is being comfortable being in your own skin, in your own spotlight, in your own energy, in a healing way. And I think that energy sort of rubs off in the community, which is why it's often called the friendship house, the social media, technology networks, and things of that sort. Because as you embody the star-like quality, you have eyes on you and people are looking at you, and the community is now sort of learning from your ability to stand in your own energy. And often that is a mirror for other people. And so again, Aquarius energy also being related to technology and social media, a lot of those areas are also sort of going to be up for review, especially with Uranus being in Gemini, because Gemini energy is also that of communications and networks and the more local sort of community. Anything in connection to childhood as well, education, learning, things of that sort. So with Uranus being in Gemini, there can be some sort of abrupt changes. Maybe you could be starting a new 8-year cycle when it comes to education. Maybe you could be starting a new 8-year cycle when it comes to something new that you're learning generally, something that you're really curious about and that you feel like going after. There could be really transformative communications that happen within the next 8 years, but within this next time period, there could be some really strong communications that are had that are very pivotal, as in conversations that really change the direction and the course of your life. With Gemini energy as well, this could be a very potent time to write. It's Mercury energy. It could be a very important time to take note of things. It'll be a lot easier to help you sort of reflect in terms of reaching who you are authentically. Journal about things if you need to, audio record yourself if you need to, using, again, co-creating with Gemini energies to sort of awaken that change, awaken that authenticity within yourself, and really tap into, again, who you are and who you want to be outside of, you know, who the community wants you to be. Because the community really appreciates authenticity at the core. And so you want to embody that to then call that important externally. And another thing with Uranus being in Gemini is this energy around intelligence, the brain. Aquarius to me is a very intelligent sign. It is science and innovative and things of that sort. And then Gemini is also another intelligent sign in connection to education and, you know, more of the basics, communication, things of that sort, writing. And so with those things in connection, there could be a lot of exploring the sciences, specifically if you are starting a new educational cycle. There could be a lot of changes within, you know, some of your learning styles throughout this time. There could be some changes into things that you're interested in at this time and what you want to further explore. Either way, it does feel very innovative. It does feel very exciting and thrilling for the mind at this time. So treat your brain like a little bit of a sponge and, you know, allow for yourself to soak in the things that it's feeling called to. If you're feeling called to read, read, right? If you're feeling called to watch podcast series that help you learn more about some of the things you're interested in, then go for it. I think this is a time when our brain is calling for us to be open to taking in new information, because ultimately it's helping us learn more about ourselves and our role in the world and the larger community and how we want to show up in these spaces. So I think all of those are very much connected at this time. So pushing past Uranus and Gemini, we are going to be moving into the Venus trine Pluto transit or aspect that is occurring on July 7th as well. So July 7th is a potent day. But on July 7th, we will have Venus currently in Gemini trine Pluto, which is currently in Aquarius. Many Pluto and Aquarius videos that I have, you know, put out there, Pluto being a generational planet, is super significant. Aquarius and Gemini are both air signs, hence the trine energy. So with Venus trine Pluto, I think there is going to be sort of death and rebirth energy that happens in the sphere around love, relationships, finances, beauty, physical appearance, and things of that sort. Our relationships to luxury, any business partnerships as well. So there could be some intense conversations or rather pivotal moments that are happening that sort of peel back some layers, but ultimately are helping set the foundations for where you want to go, because it is trine energy, it is supportive, but again, it is Pluto, and Pluto comes to shake things up. So allow for things to be shaken up, because again, it just means that whatever foundations were there just need to be sort of burnt away to then rise again from the ashes, even stronger, brighter, and better. So allow for any of those shifts to occur with this Venus trine Pluto. Do not fret, do not be worried if you feel like there are intense conversations that are happening in your partnerships, business, or love. Again, you could be changing something around your physical appearance if that's something that you really want, especially if this is happening somewhere in relation to your first house. And then there also is this energy around kind of like a make it or break it. So if you feel like there's been intense conversations leading up into this point, there could be that final straw that sort of breaks the dynamic, because it just means that you're not meant to be there and you keep it pushing to where you need to go. So that's Venus trine Pluto. It is giving make it or break it, mostly make it rather than break it, but there can be that select view. So Venus trine Pluto, watch out for that. and then Capricorn full moon on July 10th. So full moon energy, as we all know, is closure. It's, you know, ending things, starting new cycles, ending, you know, any mindsets that you have in association with something, actually dealing with and facing any emotions, so that way you can sort of release the, I want to say, the backpack of emotions that you're carrying. So this is helping you sort of enter past the full moon phase into sort of a lighter energy, again, in preparation for the new moon. So basic moon cycle understanding. However, let's talk about Capricorn energy more specifically. Capricorn is in connection to Saturn. It's our discipline, our responsibilities, being challenged to learn lessons in these areas, to become sort of more disciplined in our approaches to whatever it is that Saturn is highlighting at that time. With Capricorn energy is heavy work and career. So your relationship to work and productivity, I think, is sort of going to be highlighted with this Capricorn full moon. Any career, you know, projects and things of that sort could also be highlighted at this time. Very go-getter mentality. Capricorn is another cardinal sign, but it's also, again, 10th house, which is in connection to our midheaven and how we are being seen for the work that we do. So a lot of that can be sort of highlighted with this Capricorn full moon. You can either be, again, closing out something in regards to a job and possibly looking into starting a new one. Finally having the gut to walk away from something that maybe is just not good for you in the workspace and go after something else. That could even be literally changing from working within an institution to now working in your own sort of independent service or contracting or whatever it is that you're doing, taking a more of an independent approach. With the Capricorn full moon as well, Capricorn again is institutions, also in connection to government. So there could be some sort of government or political rather thing that is highlighted around July 10th that feels almost like closure energy or feels rather drastic, could be emotionally charged, things of that sort, but it may push us on an individual level to work harder in some way, shape, or form, whatever that looks like, we'll see. On July 10th as well, with this full moon energy, Capricorn again can also be obsession and temptations. So you could be closing out or facing triggers related to any temptations that you have, any obsessions that you have that are sort of just not helpful for you in terms of reaching those goals that you want to reach. Whatever is stopping you from going after those goals, because Capricorn is also very similar to Aries and is goal oriented and action oriented, whatever is stopping you from sort of going after your goals is also going to be sort of asked to be chipped away with this Capricorn full moon, so that you can go into Leo season. Again, Leo being in the spotlight and being shining bright in what it is that you do and what you do and feeling really good about it. I think Capricorn full moon happening right before that is perfect timing. It's asking for you to let go of anything that is stopping you from having that plan on where you want to go and taking those steps and those strides, so that when you enter Leo season, you are feeling very clear about direction. You are feeling okay being seen for what it is that you're doing. So yeah, ride the waves with the Capricorn full moon. Release any attachments that are just not helpful for you, because Capricorn is the devil card in the zodiac and often has those chains in connection to something that maybe is just, again, not helpful, harmful. Hence why I use the word temptation and obsessions. Think about any attachments that sort of are just not helpful for you that just need to be peeled away. So that's that with the Capricorn full moon. Then we have Saturn retrograde in Aries on July 12th. So this is also super exciting. Saturn, again, we just talked on Capricorn energy, which is Saturn. Saturn is heavy, again, challenges that are coming up and triggers that are coming up to sort of help us learn lessons and get closer to a more disciplined and responsible approach with whatever that is coming up for review, being more goal-oriented, having a plan, you know, working through those shadows and putting our foot on the gas in terms of doing things differently. So with Saturn retrograde happening in Aries, again, connection to Neptune retrograde in Aries, Neptune is that Pisces energy, those illusions, those dreams, those fantasies, those deeper emotions, our inner world, our intuition. So Neptune retrograde is going to be strengthening that intuition and getting us in alignment with it. And Saturn retrograde is going to ask us to externally sort of replicate what it is that is happening internally. So this is why I appreciate Saturn and Neptune being retrograde at the same time in the sign of Aries, because it's going to be highlighting Aries themes in all shapes and forms. How are we stepping into our sense of self and our identity? How are we seeing ourselves? How are other people seeing us? and how is that changing how we are seeing ourselves? How is it that we are, you know, operating in the role that we have been given? Are we stepping into those leadership roles with full confidence, or are we sort of shying away from being seen and therefore dimming our own light? Are we, having that action-oriented energy to go after the things that we're truly passionate about, or are we putting our Aries energy towards things that are just not helpful for us? Are we, you know, further strengthening anger and fueling anger and adding fire to things that are just not helpful? Or are we, actually transmuting and using our fire energy in ways to get rid of things and rise from the ashes? Kind of like that Pluto type energy, that scorpionic energy. So those are all things that are up for review. Are our passions and desires aligned with our intuition? So these two things happening in tandem is super helpful for us. Saturn is really going to ask for you to make sure that you are being, properly fueled and taking care of yourself to then be able to be charged up enough to take care of your responsibilities in the workspace, your responsibilities in how you are showing up in these spaces. Are you taking care of yourself and your internal in a way that is allowing for you to shine externally? Are you in alignment with your passions and putting that towards, whatever goals you have? Are you being action-oriented in your approach, or are you just being impulsive? How can you work on your reactions to things that are triggering? How can you work on being less impulsive? How can you work on being comfortable with your sensitivity, but not using that as a way to excuse things? So all of those things are sort of up for review, because again, Aries can have that tantrum-like energy from time to time. And that is a result of, again, being the baby zodiac, and that being, again, the more Mars-ruled energy, and Mars is the planet of aggression, and so be wary of aggression. Saturn in Aries and Neptune in Aries, both happening in retrograde, could be triggering moments that are going to sort of call for you to think, am I going to respond the way that I normally have, which is more anger-fueled and adding fuel to the fire, or am I going to respond differently? So those things are up for review with these transits. All in all, it's asking for you to step into more positive aspects of Aries qualities. Being passionate, going after our desires, being action-oriented, and being very confident in who we are and understanding who we are and stepping into that boldly so that people can see externally and, sort of be inspired from that energy. So think about those things with these retrograde transits. And then last but not least, we have Mercury retrograde in Leo. So one last retrograde to talk about. Mercury retrograde, the one that we all know about for the most part, and the one that sort of gets everyone a little scared. No need to be scared. Again, I did release this video on the truth about Mercury retrograde. It's not anything scary. Now, is it the most ideal time to, embark on new beginnings and sign new contracts and begin new endeavors? Not necessarily. Mercury ruling networks, contracts, paperwork, words that are either written or spoken. Gemini and Mercury also ruling the mind, our mindsets, our communication patterns, networks, messages, any of those sorts of things, education, travel, short distance travel. Mercury retrograde is sort of going to highlight some of those things. So Mercury retrograde in Leo is going to be sort of, again, asking you to revisit your mental approaches to things. How are you viewing things? What are your mindsets here? What's your relationship to being playful, silly, and goofy? Leo energy is the sun. It's the child. It's the house of creativity, excitement, joy, happiness, and just, further going towards the thing that makes us feel fulfilled sun, feeling bright and full of joy. So thinking about that Leo sign, and also, again, being centered, being comfortable in the spotlight with Leo energy as well, I think that with Mercury retrograde, again, it is going to be asking us something similar. How are we, not comfortable in our own skin? And how can we revisit that at this time? How can we be more comfortable, being seen by other people? How can we have sort of a better relationship to our pleasures? How can we have and make more time for, a more goofy sort of approach? Again, Mercury being communication. How is it that maybe we need to have a more playful and goofy approach to some of the conversations that we are having with other people? How are we maybe being a little too serious in a way where it's hurting us, and we rather need a more light-filled approach to these conversations that we are having with people? How is it that maybe my brain is consuming things that is just not helping me feel, pleasure and joy and peace and excitement, and is rather putting me in a more darker energy? So if you're finding yourself consuming things, you know, TV shows or videos, podcasts, whatever it is, books or whatever, that is just not adding to the pleasure and is, you know, adding to a darker energy, then again, not helpful. So Mercury retrograde in Leo can be sort of bringing that up as well. Any sort of themes in connection to Leo that I just mentioned around children, joy, creativity, pleasures, our ability to produce creatively. So if you have been feeling like there's some sort of writer's block or whatever, this Mercury retrograde in Leo can be helping in writer's block in terms of anything. So video block, editing block, content creator block, whatever blockage you're having to your creative output, I think this Mercury retrograde in Leo can help you peel back some of those layers and get you sort of creating again by the time the end of the transit sort of occurs. So throughout this time period, this retrograde season, again, generally it is just asking for you to step more fully into you. So very important that you are stepping boldly into who you are and using that as fuel to do the work and go after the things that are fully representative of you at your core, and therefore will allow for you to be seen. You will feel more comfortable being seen, and other people will be inspired by seeing you. So a lot of those things are sort of up for review at this time, but with the full moon and with these retrogrades, it's heavy closure energy. What is stopping you from being seen? What is stopping you from being that leader? What is stopping you from being confidently in that role? What is stopping you from being able to see who you really are? What is stopping you from you being able to show other people who you really are? A lot of those questions are sort of up for review. So now that leads us to the last bit, which is our collective oracle guidance. So I pulled, this card actually kind of flew out as I was asking about collective energy, but cleansing. I'm not surprised. Cleansing is the card that came up. It says releasing the old, energetic tune-up and new beginnings. Something within me told me, because that card just flew out, let me just ask again and see what comes up. And it was Lady of the Lake, and it was new beginnings. Something is about to happen. So funny that both of these cards say new beginnings, but following this cleansing that occurs, which is what the energy is right now. It's like this Aries energy, there's this energy around, let's do this, let's go in this direction, let's go here, let's go there. But as we are embarking in these newer energies, again, as I said in the beginning of the video, it's like we're being triggered at the same time with some of the ways in which we approach things. Are we going to let those self-sabotaging beliefs and perceptions of ourselves stop us from being able to embody these roles and new beginnings as effectively and as optimally as possible? So allow for yourself to cleanse. I released this reel the other day about going by water. Go by water. I went to the beach the other day. Get in salt water, I actually threw up. The other time that I went to a rainforest this year, I also threw up. So go nearby natural water and allow for yourself to release. Release in whatever way that looks like for you, whether that's literally from your pores, whether that's literally, you know, crying, whatever it is that you need to do to sort of release. It's Cancer season, emotions are coming up for the surface. We are being asked to face things. It's all happening purposely. So allow for yourself to cleanse so that you can tune up and have a lighter energy to go in towards the directions that you're meant to go, shining brighter in your authenticity, in your sense of self, without being weighed down by any wounding and scars that are just trying to leave. So let them free. All right, folks, thank you so much for listening to this Tune In Tuesday. I knew it was gonna be a little bit longer as it is a jam-packed time in the planetary bodies. So if you need some guidance, because the energies are about to go woo-woo-woo, definitely book a reading with Bath Divinity on any transits that are coming up. Alrighty, folks, thank you so much for listening to this Tune In Tuesday, and have a great one. Bye.